Good morning. It's Andrea Bernstein here with Todd Zwillick. If you were an insomniac working the late shift, or for some reason were up at 4 a.m., you heard President Obama speaking at a joint press conference in Dresden with German Chancellor Angela Merkel. He touched on some of the same themes as he did in his major speech yesterday in Cairo. He also said he'll be dispatching George Mitchell to the Middle East to work on an agreement very soon. Obama says he's doing more than his predecessor to get peace talks started in the Middle East.
We discussed my recent trip to the Middle East and the need for all of us to redouble our efforts to bring about two states, Israel and a Palestinian state that are living side by side in peace and security. I think the moment is now.
President Obama speaking about his talks with the German chancellor. Jeff Zeleny from the New York Times is traveling with the president, and he's been with him for his entire five-day trip. Jeff, set the scene for us. What's it like there in Germany now?
Well, in Germany right now, President Obama has finished a round of meetings with his German counterpart this morning, Angela Merkel, and they had a one-on-one meeting, they had a press conference, they did some sightseeing, and now they're headed to Buchenwald, the site of a concentration camp, which for President Obama is part of the thematics of this speech. They're going to be, or this trip rather, they're going to be there this afternoon doing some
well, like a tour,
thing,
right?
It's a tour of the former concentration camp. And for the president, it's sort of a personal tour. He's talked a lot about, during the presidential campaign and beyond, how his great uncle was one of the members of the army who helped to liberate a camp pretty close to Buchenwald. So he talked about it with the chancellor this morning in their press conference. And in the German press, the trip has been sort of questioned and criticized a bit as to why President Obama would come to Germany and just do this. It's sort of a look into the history of Germany as opposed to the present day. But the chancellor said this morning, that she is also very moved by this, and it's an important part of the past. Of course, it fits in with the thematics of what President Obama was saying yesterday.
Right, Jeff. Todd Zwillick here. I want to ask you just about that. Todd Zwillick here. The theme of the overall trip, he goes to Cairo to address the Muslim world and tries to give a sense of grievances on both sides, the Jewish-Israeli side and the Arab-Muslim side, and then on the way back swings through and gives a nod and pays some attention to part of the history of Jewish suffering as well. That seems to be the overall theme.
No question, Todd. And the theme is, it's not lost on anyone that certainly in the speech yesterday, President Obama was trying to go right down the middle. He was saying in the Middle East there needs to be a two-state peace process here. He used the word Palestine a couple times in the speech, which American presidents almost never use. And then 24 hours later, he shows up in Buchenwald. So it's a very interesting thematic speech, which, of course, speaks to sort of the biography, his biography that he tries to use that essentially encourages people to resolve differences. Of course, the open question is how successful any of this will be in terms of the substance of the speech.
And that's, in fact, what he got asked a lot, both in his meeting yesterday in Cairo with the Arab press and at the press conference that you're just covering. Well, nice speech. What are you going to do? And what did he say?
Well, he says the moment is now. And by that, he means that he was very blunt, and he concedes that, one speech alone will not solve problems, of course. The United States alone cannot get this to happen. But he believes by bringing sort of renewed emphasis to this issue, he said this morning that he is dispatching George Mitchell, his top envoy to the Middle East, to the region next week to actually put to work the themes that he raised in his speech. So, again, he's criticized for not having too many specifics, but he also says it's out of his hands. So we'll see what comes out of the meetings next week with George Mitchell. But one thing is certain,
Jeff,
this is on the front burner now, and it necessarily wasn't before. The economy has been for him. Middle East peace is on his front burner.
In a nutshell, Jeff, any other news from today's news conference?
The only news, I think, is just seeing these two leaders together. There was much to be made about the relationship with the chancellor and President Bush during his time in office. And the relationship with President Obama is reported, at least in the German press, to be slightly rockier. Both leaders can said that they get along just fine. And so it was interesting sort of seeing their rapport as President Obama continues, you know, to meet his counterparts around the world.
Thanks very much, Jeff.
This was his first time one-on-one with him.
We need to end it there. Thanks very much. Jeff Zeleny is traveling with the president for our partners, The New York Times.
All right. Well, we want to turn to a journalist and a professor of journalism now to get a sense of what the reaction has been in the Arab world to the president's widely viewed speech yesterday morning. We're joined now by Asra Nomani, professor of journalism at Georgetown University and author of Standing Alone in Mecca, An American Woman's Struggle for the Soul of Islam. We're also joined by Mona El-Tahawi, a columnist on Arab and Muslim issues who's written for several newspapers, including the International Herald Tribune. Asra, let me ask you, we've seen a lot of positive reaction. People seem to be happy with the nuanced approach the president took in his speech. Aside from utter joy, what other nuances are you watching?
Well, I surveyed the blogs, the comment boards, and newspapers from the Arab world to Pakistan, and what I'm hearing is that folks are open. People are open to the message that Obama had. One of the comments that I read, picked up on one blog, was, "It's our duty to go halfway and embrace this positive gesture." Another one said, "You know, it takes two hands to clap." And so there's a responsibility that it seems that Muslims are willing to accept with this gesture. In Pakistan, there was an interesting editorial that said the Muslim world should now talk to President Obama.
Now, Mona, you've been reading Arabic papers and Arabic press as well and following reactions on Twitter and Facebook and getting some reaction from the public?
Yeah, I just right as you were leading the intro into the show, I just got an email from someone who actually attended the president's speech at Cairo University, because I myself wrote an op-ed today criticizing him for not getting into or talking about democracy more. And this woman wrote to me and she said, if I can quote very quickly, she said, "I was in the audience yesterday feeling the same tugs you were talking about." But she said, "I do think on balance that he went just about as far as someone of his temperament with so many other audiences beyond simply Egypt could have done. The applause and cheers were electric when he began speaking about democracy, corruption, and the right to choose one's leaders. It was not lost on the men in the front row, believe me." And those men in the front row included President Hosni Mubarak's son, Gamal Mubarak, who's widely expected to succeed his father. So, I mean, the reaction is balanced and cautious. But there are some others who've gone out and said that he sounded like the Muslim Brotherhood. For example, a very famous blogger in Egypt called Wa'il Abbas, who was exposed to torture, police torture especially, said, you know, he kept quoting the Quran and not addressing reason but addressing emotions. And he said that to him made Obama sound like the Muslim Brotherhood, the biggest political Islamic group in Egypt.
Okay, well, Asra, I want to ask you, because in speeches like this, in any political situation, whether it's here in America or in the Middle East, it's quite easy to appeal to the broad center. And the majority of the Muslim world, just like the majority of this country, is probably moderate. So you're going to get positive reactions to a speech that's geared towards them. But what about maybe the liberal or conservative fringes in the Arab world, maybe people more closely associated with Hamas or more people more closely associated with liberal movements? What are we hearing from people who might not be in the moderate majority?
Well, interestingly, you know, Yvonne Ridley is a British journalist who converted to Islam after she was held by the Taliban after the bombing started in September 11th. And, so she's Western, but she practices a very conservative brand of Islam. And she called Obama a political Houdini. Mm-hmm. She criticized him as having too much soundbite and too little substance. But interestingly, on this one website called MuslimMatters.com, very popular among very conservative Muslim youth, there was a real conversation going on where there were the skeptics and the cynics, but there were the other kids who were pushing back and saying, look, we've got a duty to try. Are we content with, as one young man said, are we content when we are called towel heads and ninjas? We have to try to move forward and accept this invitation. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the op-ed that I wrote today is for this new religion website called Patheos.com, and I ended up quoting from Jerry Maguire's inspiration and said that he had me at hello, basically, when he said assalamu alaikum. And I think that sentiment, while it is emotional, it does touch the hearts of a community that feels very aggrieved and very ignored.
And Barack Obama started out with high popularity in the Muslim world, so he's taking advantage of it every step of the way. Thank you, Asra. Asra Namani, professor of journalism at Georgetown University, and Moni El-Tahawi, journalist who writes for the Jerusalem Report and the International Herald Tribune, both giving us some reaction to Barack Obama's speech yesterday from the Arab world. Mona El-Tahawi, sorry. Thank you both for joining us.